Blog Talk Radio.
And oh!
There was a blind man on the roadside, and he heard a commotion. It was Jesus passing by with a crowd, and he stirred his emotions. Oh, he then displayed his whole life. Should he even try?
Father Jesus,
they say you have nothing.
You gotta seek and you will find, yes.
Now Jesus in my life is Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today, returning again to read for us is one of my favorite readers. This is the one, the only, Kevin J. Go ahead, Kevin.
Shabbat Shalom, family. How y'all doing? Can y'all hear me?
You're loud and clear, sir.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom to everybody. I hope everybody had a great week. And I appreciate you allowing me to read with you again. And looks like it's going to be another good one. Got to roll our sleeves up. Get ready. I'm ready to go.
Yes, sir. Praise God. And, of course, you know, we appreciate you reading for us today and any and all input that you may have. And I know you're going to have something to say about this one, right? And before we get started, let me just say to everybody listening on Clubhouse, welcome. Glad you returned to study with us once again. If this is your first time studying with us, we welcome you, and we hope that you continue to study with us. But for all the people who are new and don't know how we do things, this is our Sabbath Bible study. All that means to you is that we will not be allowing anyone else on the stage to ask any questions or make any comments until the class is over. Again, if you have any questions or comments, simply hold them until the class is over, and when it is over, simply raise your hand, and one of my mods will bring you to the stage, and you can ask your question or make your comment, provided you are respectful. And speaking of respect, to everybody in the chat room, make sure you keep it cordial. Don't be in the chat room arguing back and forth with each other. Don't try to pose conflicting scripture to what I'm talking about. If you have a problem with anything I'm talking about, write it down, save it, and then either come on the stage and ask it on the stage or ask it after the class is over. If you are disrupting the class, we consider that to be disrespectful, and one of my mods will promptly kick you out. No questions asked. And I already know, due to the nature of this particular topic, it may get a little heated. So to my mod, because y'all understand this, y'all can give a little leeway, you know, give a little leeway, because we want as many people to hear this as possible. You know, I don't usually say this. But if they just get downright ridiculous, like they got to the point that Nautica had to turn off the chat room for a quick little minute just to stabilize the chat room, if it gets ridiculous like that, then y'all huddle up in the back. Turn off the chat room for a quick minute so y'all can identify, you know, the ring leaders and the rabble rousers and kick them out. Then just turn the chat back on. I don't mind anybody turning off the chat if it's to stabilize the chat room. I don't got a problem with that because it can get out of control. And boy, did it get out of control last week, you know. And speaking of last week, this is a continuation from last week's class. That's why you see Volume 2 in the title. Today's class is titled, Sex is Not Marriage, Volume 2, Put Away the Cheating Husband. Again, today's class is titled, Sex is Not Marriage, Volume 2, Put Away the Cheating Husband. And it's really obvious why I decided to do this particular class. Last week when I did part one of Sex is Not Marriage, I sought out to prove that the Bible does not say when a man has sex with a woman that automatically becomes his wife. The Bible does not say that anywhere. Old Testament, New Testament, Apocrypha, that is nowhere in the scriptures. I don't even think that appears in extra-biblical texts. I don't know for sure, but I don't even think that appears in extra-biblical texts. Sex is not marriage, Marriage is a procedure. If you casually have sex with a woman without any vows being made, without any dowries being paid, without anything written down as a contract, and we're going to deal with that again, you are simply fornicating, both of you. If two single people do that, a man and a woman, they just have sex without going through the proper procedures, you are simply fornicating. And if you do it on a regular basis, and we're going to touch on this again because we're going to review a few things, the man is a whoremonger and the woman is a harlot or a whore. That's what the Bible teaches. But you got these black Hebrew Israelite caps, not all of them, but a whole lot of them, deceiving people, telling people that if a man sleeps with a woman, that's automatically his wife. And when I did this class last week, disproving that lie, man, did they get ticked off. You had Mal Halab from the God First Gang open up a room saying the response to my class, which I found funny, because how can you respond to something that's still in process? Don't the Bible say something about if somebody judge a matter before hearing it in its entirety, they're a fool? Don't the Bible say that? Dre,
yeah.
Triller, doesn't it say that?
Yep.
I'm not even midway through my study, and already I'm getting responses. And it wasn't just them. The COI, which I think, I'm not sure, stands for Congregation of Israel, they also open up a room titled Sex Is Marriage, Stop Making Up Your Own Doctrine. As if I'm making it up when I say sex is not marriage. So both of these camps, I'm not putting out the whole God First Gang, because I know Mal Halal does not represent the whole God First Gang. So if you're from the God First Gang and you hear me talking about Mal Halal, I'm not talking to you unless you were supporting him and pushing his ignorance. But if you want to get in the middle of it, ain't nothing between us but air. Ain't nothing between us but air and opportunity. That's it. You follow what I'm saying? Meaning you can get this work too. But when it comes to Mal Halal, he didn't even let me finish. He even said he's not going to listen, but yet he has a response. I'm trying to figure out how can you respond to somebody's view on a particular topic when you are openly admitting that you're not going to, one, you're not going to listen to it, and two, that means you don't know what it is to respond. So this is the type of stuff that they do because they don't want this truth to get out. It's a diversion tactic. See, we say damage control sometimes, but damage control refers to after the damage has been done. That's damage control. That's when we're done putting out the information that causes the damage, then they have to play cleanup. That's called damage control. A diversion tactic is when you're in the middle of trying to put out this truth and they try to distract you. This is what Mal Halab did. And this brother disagrees with us on many topics. Many. But when I started talking about sex is not marriage, not only did he try to open his own room claiming he was responding to something he didn't even hear and said he would not listen to, he also went on to claim that our position was wrong.
Yo, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yo.
He better be a virgin, or he married to a lot of different people.
I ain't gonna say virgin, because I just say celibate. Because whatever you did before you came into this truth, that's behind you, right? Since he came into this truth, he better be celibate or married. You follow what I'm saying? Those are the only two things you can be in the Bible. Ain't no in-between. Ain't no friends with benefits. You feel me? You either celibate or you marry. I ain't heard no in-between state. Even when you talk about being engaged, they still consider that a form of marriage too. But he came for us saying he can knock all of our stuff out, you know, using some real vulgar language. You don't believe me, just go on the replay for last week's class, Sex is Not Marriage. Go in the chat room. You see him on there running his mouth. Now he'll debate us on it. He's texting Benaya. I'll debate Josh on this. I already told y'all, Zadok already called dibs on anybody who challenged me. So I referred him to Zadok. And then over the course of the conversation, and we could prove that, he basically realized he was in over his head, Mal Halab, and to quote Black Jesus Minister, he punked out. He followed up saying, that's what he did. He tried to pretend like, oh, we agreed with him all along. Don't play games with us, dude. You got scared and you ran. You were talking all that talk in the chat room and you got scared and you ran. And not just him, a lot of these guys were talking crap about this study. But as usual, when we open up the stage and let them present, they're nowhere to be found. They even take the crickets with them. Y'all know how we say crickets? They even take the crickets with them. You don't even hear the crickets. So when we do this class today, I'm going to do what I usually do. Whenever I put truth out and people try to attack it, I'm only going to bring it worse. I'm going to make it even harder on y'all. Because everybody got all in their feelings when I did this study. And they were still talking about it as late as yesterday. That's nearly for a whole week. Because they're all trying to do damage control because a lot of people checked out that replay and they saw that sex is not marriage. Does marriage involve sex? Of course. But when you first get married, sex is not at the top of the agenda. Sex is the last thing. That's why they call it consummating a marriage. I touched on that last week too. We proved all of this. So now I'm going to destroy another doctrine that they teach. They teach that a woman cannot put away a man or divorce a man. That's one thing I'm going to destroy. For all of y'all sisters that think y'all trapped with these dudes no matter what they do. Oh, girl, he don't cheated on me with all these different women, but I can't put them away. I'm stuck with them. Or better yet, they even teach, there's another doctrine I'm going to destroy, that a man can't cheat on a woman. They teach that. They say if you're married to a wife, you cannot cheat on her. Because any woman you sleep with, that's your wife. So they try to pervert the Bible's concept of polygyny. Because that's not polygyny what they're practicing over there. That's harlotry. We proved that last week. But they'll tell the women, oh, I can't cheat on you. If I sleep with another woman, that's just my other wife. So if I'm not cheating on you or can't cheat on you, you can never divorce me. You can never leave me. I'm going to show you in my Maury Povich voice, that is also a lie. I'm going to show you that it was very possible to get out of a marriage with a man. And I'm going to show you that the Bible does say a man can cheat on a woman. If a man can cheat on a woman, that means he committed adultery on her. And he does not have to sleep with another man's wife to do it. Because that's what they want you to believe. Oh, I'm only sinning if I'm a married man. That's what they teach. If I sleep with another man's wife. That's the only sin I can commit while I'm married as far as like messing with another person. That is a lie. The concept of cheating husbands, adulterous husbands, outside of sleeping with another man's wife is in the Bible in great detail. So I'm going to show you that when Jesus said, when he was dealing with the Jews of his day that was asking him about marriage and divorce, when he said, whosoever put away his wife, except it be for fornication, right, and marry another committed for adultery. I'm going to show you that when it said, except it be for fornication, it also referred to a woman putting away her husband. I'm going to prove it to you. We're killing a lot of lies lately. I'm tired of these guys lying. I wouldn't probably even did this class, but the more they lie, the harsher their punishment is going to be. So we're going to get this started in Deuteronomy 23. We went here last week. The reason why I'm going here this week is to just show you, first of all, there is a such thing as a male harlot or a male whore. Because these black Hebrew camps, especially the One West ones, don't ever teach you that a man can be a whore or a harlot. They say only women can be that. And then I'm going to show you about cheating husbands. The Bible says this. So they either don't know this stuff, or they know it and they're not telling you. Either way, that means you don't want them as your teacher. That means they're unqualified to teach you, or they are just plain old deceiving you. Either way, you don't want them as your teacher. So we're going to go to Deuteronomy 23. We went here in last week's class, but I want to start off with this because we're going in an entirely different direction today. They don't want to do this. Y'all don't want to do this. Y'all been lying to these sisters. I'm giving y'all a way out. If y'all Stockholm-headed syndrome sisters want to stay in these abusive marriages, no matter what that dude does to you with us, you know, pertaining to other women, that's on you. I'm going to show you that the Bible says you can get up out of there. You can put that fool away. I'm going to show you that. But first, I got to show you that there's a such thing as a concept of, number one, a man being a harlot or a whore, and number two, he can cheat on his wife. Because, again, they're telling you that the only way a man can sin in a marriage is to sleep with another man's wife. That's what they're telling you. That is a lie. You have been tricked, sisters. They'll tell you anything to keep you locked. There's some real pimping going on here. I'm telling you. And if he's a pimp and you're his woman, do I really need to spell it out for you? Right? I don't think I do. This is Deuteronomy 23, 17 to 18. When you get there, Kevin, read, please.
Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. And there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel.
Now again, and I'm going to prove this, sodomite does not mean homosexual in the King James Version Bible or in the original Hebrew. It never meant that. That is a later definition. And the problem is people take later definitions of words that was used in the King James Version Bible, and they read the later definition back into the early translation of the King James Version Bible. That is wrong. It's called an anachronism. You cannot do that. But even if you look at this, you can see when it says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Even just from the context, you can see that whatever a sodomite is, it has to be the opposite of whatever a whore is, just for a man. That's common sense right there. You should be able to see that. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the Strong's Exalted Concordance, and we're going to look up the word translated sodomite in this verse. And then we're going to look at it in other translations to further prove it. And then 6945 in the Hebrew section. You can also look this up in the Blue Letter Bible. This is the word translated sodomite. It does not mean homosexual. It never does in the King James Version Bible. Not one time. That is a later definition of it that you are reading back into the King James Version Bible. And a lot of words in the King James Version Bible work like that. Like I like to tell y'all about the word conversation. Conversation in the King James Version Bible does not mean a discussion. It means your behavior or your conduct. But if you take the modern day definition of conversation and read its meaning back into a verse in the King James Version Bible that uses the word conversation, you have just read that verse out of context because it's not talking about talking or discussing. It's talking about behavior. This is the same thing that's going on with sodomite. You look up sodomite in any modern dictionary, it's going to tell you a homosexual or somebody that practices sodomy. I know that. But that is a later definition. When you're using the King James Version Bible and it uses terms, You need to make sure that when you look up these terms, it is the early definition of it, not a later one, because definitions in the English language evolve. That's a fact. That's why you don't say thy and thou anymore. Even certain words have been dropped. So this is Sodomite, 6945 in the Hebrew section of the Strong's Office Concordance. And it says, the word is Kadesh. Kadesh. And it says, from Hebrew, 6942, a quasi-sacred person. In what sense? That is technically a male devotee by prostitution. A male devotee by prostitution to licentious idolatry. Because sometimes, you know, they had these male prostitutes in these pagan idolatrous temples. But a prostitute is a whore, and you didn't always get paid. See, the word whore and prostitute are synonyms. The only difference is with the word prostitute, it usually implies payment. But in the Bible, it doesn't always mean payment. It just means whoring around in general. So sodomite means a male whore. That's what it is. A more accurate translation would be whoremonger right here. Or if you want to just transliterate it, you will call them a Kadesh. We need to understand this. And to prove this to you, we're going to read this in other translations of the Bible so you can see this is not talking about a homosexual. Sodomite, never means homosexual in the King James Version Bible. It never does. Not one time, ever. Right? So what we're going to do is we're going to go to another translation. We're going to go to the, let me pull this up. We're going to go to the DRB. That stands for Dewey Range Bible. And let me pull this up to match this. Here we go. This is Deuteronomy 23 and 17 in the Dewey Range Bible. Look what it says. There shall be no whore among the daughters of Israel, nor whoremonger among the sons of Israel. Notice they use the word whoremonger, because that's a more accurate translation based on the early translation of the King James Version Bible. You can look this stuff up. Look up the origin of the word sodomite. Just like you can look up the origin of the word gay. Gay did not always mean homosexual. Look this stuff up. You got to make sure when you look up a term in the Bible, it has to be defined as it was in the early days of the King James Version Bible translation. So it means whoremonger. This has nothing to do with homosexuality. It just means a male whore. That's what it means. Right? And we're going to prove that too. We're going to get real deep with this because these guys want you to believe, sisters, who are among these black Hebrew Israelite camps, that they can have sex with you, make you think you're their wife just from the sex, and then they can just go out and sleep with as many women as they want, claim those women are their wives, which is also a lie. We disposed that last week. And then to bring it all home, turn around and tell you that there's no way I can cheat on you. Even the ones that teach that if you sleep with another man's wife, that's adultery, they will still teach you that ain't got nothing to do with you. That's between me, that man, and his wife. They want you to believe that no matter what they do, who they mess around with, you're stuck with them. You can't cheat on them. I can't cheat on you. They want you to believe that. That's how they trap you. And that's a horrible thing to do to a woman, especially a good woman. Right? But let me read this in another translation. Let me pull this up. I want y'all to see that these people are playing some serious games with your salvation. This is your salvation that they are playing with. And y'all are falling for this stuff because these guys want to just do anything as if the Bible doesn't give a man
enough power and authority over a woman as is, right? The man is already the head. He has the last say-so. All that power, it even gives men and men alone the license to partake in polygyny. There are no polygamy relationships with a woman, meaning she can have more than one husband. The man clearly has the advantage. But that's not enough for them. That's not enough. They want to completely demoralize the woman. So this is Deuteronomy. Make sure I got this up here. Deuteronomy 23 and 17. I'm going to go to what translation I'm going to go to. I'm going to go to the LSV. The LSV. Let me pull this up. That's bad for the Legacy Standard version. Just give me a second, y'all. I'm trying to pull it up. Y'all know they have all these translations. I'm on Bible Hub, by the way. Y'all can go to Bible Hub. I'm sorry, that stands for the literal standard version, not legacy, literal standard version, right? This is Deuteronomy 23 and 17. I like to go to Bible Hub because they got a lot of different Bible translations. Look what it says. There is not a whore among the daughters of Israel, nor is there a whoremonger among the sons of Israel. You guys using that word whoremonger? Not sodomite, not homosexual, because these modern translators are looking at the definition of this Hebrew word, kadesh. It means a male whore. That's what it means. Let's go to another translation. We're going to go to the PHBT, and that stands for the Peshitta Holy Bible Translated. Peshitta, Holy Bible Translated. Look what it says, Deuteronomy 23 and 7. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. Also, there shall be no one who fornicates of the sons of Israel. You see how they changed that up, Kevin?
Yeah.
Let you know that a whoremonger and a fornicator can be used interchangeably. But I just put this out here to let you know that there is a such thing as a male harlot. Because these black Hebrew Israelite camps, not all of them, but most of them, will have you to believe there's no such animal. A man can't be a whore. Only women can be that. If you're telling me that if I have sex with a woman, that becomes my wife automatically, then that's not whoring. What they have done is made it impossible for a man to be a whoremonger. That's what these black Hebrew Israelite camps have done. That's why they tell you that sex is marriage. But ask them, is it possible for a woman to be a whore? Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. It's all over the book. It's all over the book, too, with the men. The King James just called it sodomites. That's why a lot of them can't see it, because it's hidden behind the word sodomite. But sodomite does not mean homosexual in the King James Version Bible. It means a whoremonger, a male whore, or a man who fornicates. Notice it did not say adultery, because I'm going to show you there is a difference. I'm going to show you that. So if you're just out here just sleeping with women, you have not gone through any marriage procedure, you have not made any vows. And yes, I'm going to show you in this class, vows were involved. So I didn't give it all to them last week, Kevin. I'm going to show you that vows were involved. A contract was involved. If you out here just sleeping with women, you ain't made any vows to her. You ain't paid a single dowry. Ain't nothing written down to verify the union. No witnesses. You just sleeping with her. That is not a marriage. That is harlotry. Even if it's just you and her. We ain't even talking about polygyny. We talking about one-on-one. That is harlotry. And that's what these camps are doing, and that's why they got so upset at me and started launching all these rooms, because they don't want to stop casually sleeping with women. They want you sisters to think, and a lot of y'all sisters down with it too. It ain't just some deceived sisters running around here. A lot of y'all down on the clown shoe, you know, y'all get just as horny as we do. Y'all know in y'all heart this crap ain't no marriage. Y'all know that. Because the second a lot of y'all get mad, y'all just walk off anyway. I don't hear the sisters not buying into this, but only after they get mad at the brother. They all down, yeah, that's my husband, girl. Second you get mad, he ain't really my husband. We not really married. You weren't saying all that when we were getting along. So it ain't just these brothers. A lot of these sisters in on this, too. There are sisters. I hope y'all sisters who are at these Hebrew Israelite camps are listening. There are sisters out there that see you with your husband, just you and your husband, and they want your husband. So they try to run the polygyny line on him. But they don't really want your husband, like marriage-wise. They just want your husband to smash. That's what's going on in these camps. So what they'll do is they'll come to your husband, and sometimes to you and your husband, and they'll be like, yo, I want to be, you know, the second wife. I want to be your sister wife. But I live in my own spot. I have my own setup. That's not a sister wife. That's not a polygynous relationship. That's just a woman who want to smash your husband. And you idiotic women, well, you know, the Bible says it's okay to be in a polygynous relationship, so go right ahead. And he in a whole different household over there sleeping with another woman. No contracts. She ain't got his last name. We proved it last week's class. That's what happened. That woman joined that man's father's house, and she got his last name. No contract, no ceremony, no procedure, no dowry saved. What do you call that? That's just a dude smashing another woman while he's married. And I'm going to show you that's adultery. I'm going to show you that. A married man with a married woman. Let me back this up. I want to say this real slow. You know, they like to misquote me. A married man with a married woman, if he goes out and sleeps with a single woman, casually, you know, she ain't got to be married to no man. Just, you know, just running up in her. I ain't talking about polygyny. I'm talking about he just sleeping with her. That is adultery. Oh, they didn't know I was going to hit him with that one, did they, Kevin?
No, I didn't hear them.
That's adultery. It's not him just whoring around like I was telling y'all last week. See, I like to save some of my stuff. I'm going to show y'all that's adultery. You know, that's how the Christians teach it. You know, I'm a man, and I'm married to a woman, and I go out and I sleep with another woman. She's not married. But I sleep with her. She's a single woman. That's adultery. I just committed adultery against my wife. No third man has to be involved in the equation. That's adultery. I'm going to show y'all that. I'm going to show you. Because you can be committing adultery and whoring around. Y'all didn't think that was possible? You could be married to a woman right now. She could cheat on you and just be sleeping with a bunch of people. That's adultery, and she's whoring around. Y'all didn't think you can do two sexual sins at the same time? But I'm going to show you, and let me say it again, married man, married woman. Married man sleeps with a single woman. Not somebody trying to make his second wife, because we don't preach against polygyny. That's not what we're talking about. So don't come out here, man, he's saying polygyny is wrong. No, I'm not talking about polygyny. I'm talking about harlotry. I'm talking about a married man going out and just sleeping with another woman who's single. That's breaking wedlock. That's adultery. I'm going to prove it to you. Don't say you didn't see it. Don't, oh, he's reading that in the note. He's going to say it plainly. I'm going to show y'all that. But that's for later. Let me see what else we got here. Okay. So now let's go to CollinsDictionary.com. I'm going to show you what whoremonger originally meant. Originally meant. Right? And then we're going to see it in the scriptures too. Don't worry about it. Right? This is CollinsDictionary.com. We're looking up the definition of the word whoremonger. This is what it says. And I want y'all to pay attention to a word that is used when you're looking up words. Right? It says archaic. Y'all know what archaic means? What does archaic mean, Kevin? Do you know?
Not off the top.
Right? What about you, Trilla, Nautica? Do y'all know what archaic means? Archaic.
Old
or ancient. So when it says archaic at the beginning of any definition you ever look up, that means that's the original or one of the oldest meanings of that word. And do y'all know what they call the English in the King James Version Bible? What kind of English do they call that, y'all? Anybody?
Old
English. And sometimes they say archaic English. Right? So it says archaic or whoremonger. This is what it originally meant. It says a man who has sexual intercourse or associates with whores. See, that's what a whoremonger originally meant. A man who has sexual intercourse or associates with whores. And then it also says specifically a pimp. That came a little later, though, even though that's still like one of the oldest definitions of it. Because they used to call a man who had sex with a bunch of women. They call him pimp. And we still use that terminology today. You got a friend sleep with a bunch of women. Man, you a pimp. Y'all have heard somebody say that before? I'm a pimp. They don't mean they out there got women on the street selling their bodies and bringing them back the money. When we say pimp today, in some senses, it doesn't mean the guy that get all the women. Man, that dude a pimp. That's what pimp meant at an early time. And it still carries that connotation today. That's just not the only thing it means. It has been modified to mean a guy that has women out there selling their bodies and bringing him back the money. That's why I've been telling y'all, and I was saying it last week, y'all messing with a bunch of pimps. I don't mean just pimps that got just pimping you. I mean that's what you're sleeping with. That's what the black Hebrew community mostly is. It's not husband, wife, it's pimp, horse. That's what it is. So when I come on here and I start talking about the procedures of a true marriage, they get upset. They want to start launching these smear campaigns, right? So notice they're archaic. But let's go to another dictionary because I want y'all to see this stuff. We're going to go to the Oxford Languages Dictionary, right, for whoremonger. And it says, now, it's a noun, just like it always was, archaic. They go that word again, old, ancient, whoremonger. A person who has dealing with prostitutes, especially a sexually promiscuous man. See, originally that word referred primarily to a man sleeping around. And it pops up in the King James Version Bible, and we're going to see it still tells you it was talking about a man. When you see whoremonger in the Bible, that's talking about men in the King James Version Bible. It's talking about men. Men whores. Women are just called plain old whores in the King James Version Bible, or harlots. Sometimes Proverbs use the terminology strange woman. But they can refer to a harlot and or an adulteress. Because like I said, you could be both. You could be an adulterer and a harlot at the same time. Or an adulterer and a whoremonger. You can be both. Understand this stuff, right? That's Oxford Languages. Again, a person who has dealings with prostitutes, especially a sexually promiscuous man. That's why the modern translations of Deuteronomy 23 and 17 uses the word whoremonger because they know sodomite does not mean homosexual. They put whoremonger there. That's about a male whore. And like I said, you can see from the context when Deuteronomy 23 and 17 describes that there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. We know what a whore is. Nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Why would Moses be like, women shouldn't sleep around? And guys shouldn't be homosexual. That doesn't match if he's addressing the two genders. What he's saying is, we don't want no female whores, and we don't want no male whores. That's all he's saying. Sodomite is out of place right now with the flow of this law anyway. You just see from the context, it doesn't make sense to parallel a homosexual with a female whore. It would make sense to parallel a homosexual with a lesbian, right? But that's not what's going on here. You're paralleling two types of whores, male and female. That's all you're doing, right? But now let's go to yourdictionary.com, and we're going to look up whoremonger one more time. This is yourdictionary.com. Look what it says. Now, a man who has sexual intercourse with or associates with whores. Didn't say nothing about sleeping with a married man's wife. Did it say anything about that, Kevin?
No.
It just says a man who has sexual intercourse with or associate with whores. And y'all know a woman who's married that's cheating on her husband is not the only way to be a whore. You can be single and be a whore as a woman. Y'all know that. So she's only a whore if she's married and she's cheating on her husband. No. A whore is just a woman that sleeps around with a bunch of different men. Married or not. Has nothing to do with that. So don't try to let them link every sexual sin that you can commit in a marriage to another marriage. That's what they try to do. No, I'm going to show you that you can be an adulterer as a man if you sleep with another woman who's not even married. You're just sleeping with her. That's not your second wife, not even your concubine, bro. Just some woman you smash. You commit adultery. But let's move on. Let's go to Malachi chapter 2. We're going to pull out something very interesting here. Last book in the Old Testament.
Do you want to read Deuteronomy
18
already or
not? About let's go ahead and throw that in there. Deuteronomy 23. Yeah, to match that up. Read 18, please. Go ahead and do that. So we can show them that. Then we'll go to Malachi. Yeah.
Just Deuteronomy 23:18. Thou shalt not... That thou shalt not bring the hire of the or the price of the dog into the house of the Lord thy God with any fire. For even both these are abominations to the Lord thy God.
Now, this is talking about bringing money that comes from prostitution into the house of the Lord, which is the tabernacle at that time, which eventually became the temple. Right? But if you notice, the terminology switched up. The woman is still referred to as a whore. But the man is called a dog. So one of the names for a male whore is a dog. And the sisters still use this terminology today too. Girl, he's just a dog. That's what they are. You got male whores. These black Hebrew camps do not want you to know that a man can be a whore. They want you to believe you're just sleeping with them, that's just your other wives. Give me a break. Those are not marriages. And like I told y'all, silly sisters, a lot of these sisters out here that's talking about they want to be your sister wife, they just want to smash your husband. Or even worse, usurp you as the first wife. Y'all don't think the game has changed? It's the same thing before you got in the word. You a sister, you got a man, it's another sister that wants your man. She ain't going to really ask for your permission. She's trying to take your spot. Some of them willing to share, but most of them want to take your spot, or at the very least, be ahead of you, and you have the role of, like, the second wife. So these sisters in these camps grimy, too, trying to go after another woman's husband. You know good and well you ain't really trying to do no polygyny. You just want that woman husband to be having sex with you. So y'all not innocent either. It's corrupt on both ends. The men and the women in these camps are corrupt. Everybody is looking for an excuse to be fornicators and adulterers. That's the same thing that was going on in ancient Israel, Old Testament, and New Testament. Man has been trying to find a reason to excuse his perverted sexual appetite since the beginning of time. That's the reason why you got churches right now marrying homosexual couples and trying to justify it. We've been doing that since day one. But I'm going to keep calling it out. I'm going to keep telling the truth. They can get mad. But check this out. Now we're in Malachi, chapter 2. Let me prove to you in the Old Testament that God did not like a man cheating on his husband, cheating on his wife, and then forcing her to leave her husband. God did not like that. He's not like a man cheating on his wife. They want you to believe that's not even possible. We're going to read it. And we're going to read it in other translations too. You can see it in the King James, but you can see it even better in other translations. Because that's what they were doing in ancient Israel. Not only would they cheat on their first wife, they would kick her out. They would send her away. They would get her a bill of divorcement. You followed up there. These guys were wicked back then. That's the only thing that made me believe that the black Hebrews today are the actual descendants of ancient Israel. You act just like them. You act wicked just like them. Y'all are always looking for curses and color and captivity. The three C's, curses, color, and captivity. That's all y'all want to use to identify Israel. I ain't got to do that. I just use one letter. You want to identify who Israel is? Look at these Hebrew Israelite counts and how they acting just like ancient Israel. Wicked. They acting just like them, breaking every law in the book and justifying it. This was going on in Malachi's day. And Malachi was speaking against it. Now it's going on in Brother Joshua's day. And Joshua's speaking against it. Same thing, right? Malachi chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. We're going to break this down. Let's see what's going on here. Go ahead and read. Matter of fact, does your Bible have a heading over what this is talking about? Some people do.
Yes.
What's it say?
It's in the family is what it says.
It says what?
Sin in the family.
Sin in the family. Sin in the family. Mine says the warning to the unfaithful. We're going to see what unfaithful is talking about. Right? Now watch what it says. Go ahead and read.
This is Malachi chapter 2, verse 11. Judah has dealt treacherously and in abomination is committed to Israel and in Jerusalem. But Judah have profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and have married the daughter of a strange God.
Now it says Judah, this is about the southern kingdom. Judah have dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and have married the daughter of a strange God. What that means is he's serving other gods. That's what that is talking about. Remember, Israel was supposed to be married to the Most High. So he's messing around with pagan gods. But he's going to start talking about what they were doing to their actual wives, too. Keep reading.
Verse 12. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth it, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacle of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts.
So it said the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, you know, serving these other gods, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offering an offering unto the Lord of hosts. Meaning he's going to cut those people off that's doing that. Let's see what else God had a problem with that was going on in Judah. Continue.
13. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that it regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with good will at your hand.
It says, and this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, so they're sacrificing these animals on the altar to the Lord in tears, but God is not acknowledging their sacrifices because they're wicked, right? It says that he regardeth not the offering anymore or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. We got a whole class on that. God don't accept your sacrifices if you're wicked. But continue.
14. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dwelt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of that covenant?
Whoa, 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 whoa. So they want to know why. Look what it says, and we're going to break this down. For you stupid fuckers who don't believe this dude can cheat on you. Because you are stupid if you believe that. We're going to break it down. This is the Old Testament, right? It says, yet ye say wherefore. Like you're saying, why? Why isn't God not accepting my sacrifices? Then God says through the mouth of Malachi, because the Lord have been witness between you and the wife of your youth. Wife of your youth means the wife you married in your youth, your first wife. Right? That's usually your first wife. Look what it says. Between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. We're going to show you what it means to deal treacherously with her. This is the problem that God got with what's going on in Judah. You're dealing treacherously with her, right? Then, did you read verse 15?
Not yet.
All right, now read verse 15.
Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. And did not he make one? Yet had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth.
Now look what it said. Let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. So God tells them, this is why I'm not listening to you, and stop doing it. So what we're going to do, Kevin, is we're going to go to other translations, and we're going to show you what it means to deal treacherously with your wife. Notice that God is rebuking them for this. We've already shown you that men can be whores. And you know this is talking about married men right here. So whatever this guy is doing is something he's doing in the confines of a marriage that God is saying dealing treacherously. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the ERV, that's the easy-to-read version, and we're going to see how these two verses read. Here. This is Malachi 2, 14 and 15 in the ERV or easy-to-read version. Look what it says. You ask, why are our gifts not accepted? It is because the Lord saw the evil things you did. He is a witness against you. Listen to this part. He saw you cheat on your wife. Hold on. Well, Kevin, did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
He saw you cheat on your wife. Wait a minute, Black Hebrews. I thought y'all said that's impossible to do. He saw you cheat on your wife. This is why God is not even accepting your sacrifices. You trying to tell me God cool with that? Like we said last week, that's the class right there, Kevin. But we ain't done. Finish early then. But we ain't done. He saw you cheat on your wife. You have been married to her since you were young. She was your girlfriend. That means just a female friend. That what companion is. Then you made your vow to each other. That's that covenant that you read about in the King James. You made your vow to each other, and she became your wife. I don't hear any of these Black Hebrews talking about any vows. They just come out smashing. Oh, I slept with her. She's my wife. What about the vows? I talked about the vows last week. Big Brother Zaylock talked about the vows last week. Big Brother Elijah Moses talked about the vows last week. Why now Halab ain't talking about no vows? Oh, we're going to keep reading, though. That's what it means to deal treacherously with your wife. And if you don't believe that, just go read in the prophets where God describes Israel dealing treacherously with him, meaning they were cheating on him with other gods. It's worded the same way. You have dealt treacherously with me. That's what it means. But look what else it says. Let me read that again. I got to read this one again because it was powerful, Kevin. 14. English, easy to read version. You ask, why are our gifts not accepted? It is because the Lord saw the evil things you did. He is a witness against you. He saw you cheat on your wife. No, did not say he saw you sleep with another man's wife. Did it say that?
No.
It said he saw you cheat on your wife. How can you cheat on your wife, Israel, if any woman you sleep with, even if you marry, that's just another wife? And look what else he said. He saw you cheat on your wife. You have been married to her since you were young. She was your girlfriend. Then you made your vows to each other, and she became your wife. Notice that it threw the vows before the wife part. It's Bible. It's big scripture. But let's get read it. Look, verse 15. God wants husband and wife to become one body and one spirit. Oh, that sounds like what Paul was talking about.
Right?
Why? So that they would have holy children. Remember that part, having holy children. Because that's going to come back later. That's what you want, children to come out of a marriage. Right? So they would have holy children and protect that spiritual unity. Listen to this part right here. It don't get more plain than this, Kevin. Don't cheat on your wife. She has been your wife from the time you were young.
Keep it plain.
Don't cheat on your wife. So it's getting high up in here because now we don't prove that a man can cheat on his wife and it ain't got to have anything to do with him sleeping with another man's wife. How does he do it? Playing the harlot, being a whoremonger. That's how he does it. These lying Hebrew counts.
Strike that translation from the record.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine because we got another one. We have another one. Now let's go to the contemporary English version. Now, they know what it means to deal treacherously with your husband or to deal treacherously with your wife because God used that language all the time to describe how Israel, his wife, was sinning against him. You have dealt treacherously. That means you're cheating on me. God said he don't like it when you cheat on your wife. Now, y'all tell me, what do we call it when a married person cheats on their spouse? What do we call that today, y'all? What do you call it?
Adultery.
That's what we call that. Well, but I'm going to show you that it's called adultery. Y'all can see from the context, but don't worry. We're going to prove it. Because I love proving stuff. I love doing that. That's fun for me. See, a lot of people hate proving stuff. I love proving stuff. It is my passion. You follow what I'm saying? Right? Well, let me tell you how it reads in the contemporary English version. Malachi chapter 2, 14 and 15. And it reads, and why isn't God pleased? It's because he knows that each of you men has been unfaithful to the wife you married when you were young. What does it mean to be unfaithful to your wife, Zadok, Kevin? What does that mean to be unfaithful to your wife?
The only thing I know is to sleep around with another woman outside of
your marriage. You have been unfaithful to your wife. These lying black Hebrew Israelite camps, not all of them, but most of them, are out here telling you dumb sisters, and yes, you are dumb if you go for this, that he can screw you, instantly become your husband, and then go out and sleep with as many women as he wants, and it ain't a damn thing you can do about it. You got to be the dumbest boy walking the planet if you went for that. That's the truth. That's why a lot of them come up here and they try to defend this crap because admitting it will make you look real stupid. And nobody wants to look stupid. I don't mind looking stupid for a moment to be looking intelligent for the rest of my life. That's a small price to pay. It's like if somebody came to you and told you you got to live homeless for 1 month, but after the month is over with, you will be a billionaire. Shoot. Show me the train tracks you want me to sleep under. I'll be right there. I'll eat a month up for a billionaire? That's how y'all supposed to got to see it. You'll be ashamed, but only for a moment. I keep telling y'all that. But look what else it says. It says, I'm going to read 14 again from the beginning, contemporary English version. And why isn't God pleased? It's because he knows that each of you men has been unfaithful to the wife you married when you were young. You know, it's going to be more than likely your first wife. You promised, listen to this, you promised that he would be your partner, but now you have broken that promise. How many of you sisters, I'm going to get real personal, I'm going to poke at some nerves. How many of you sisters in the black Hebrew Israelite camp, when you got married, and this is what Big Brother Zadok was talking about last week too, he made a promise to you that it would just be you and him. But then he found out later he could have another wife. He broke their promise and got somebody else. That's that covenant that it tells you in the King James. It's that covenant. That's a contract, right? But look what it says in verse 15. Didn't God create you to become like one person with your wife? Yeah. And why didn't he do this? It was so you would have children and then lead them to become God, ever be unfaithful to your wife. Do I even really need to explain that, Big Bro, Kevin? I need to explain this?
No.
Self-explanatory. But I thought the black Hebrew said a man can't cheat on his wife. They said that's not possible. Then what are they doing here? It don't say nothing about them messing with any other man's wife. What does it mean he's doing? He's whoremongering.
Yep.
He's sleeping with other females. They're not married to him. That's adultery. That's what you call being unfaithful in a marriage. That's called adultery. But don't worry. We're going to read it out. I like to prove it. But now let's go back to the King James. And give me verse 16, because Big Bro Zaylon also mentioned this.
It's not like chapter 2, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hated to put it away. But one covers violence with his garment, that the Lord upholds. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and ye deal not treacherously.
It says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hated putting away. That's just another way of describing divorce. Because, see, that's what these guys were doing. They weren't just cheating on their women. They would kick their women to the curb, divorce them, and then get another one and rinse and repeat. It said the Lord hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. He said, take heed to your spirit that you don't deal treacherously. Let me show you how this part reads in the easy-to-read version. Malachi 3:16, look what it says. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I hate divorce, and I hate the cruel things that men do. So protect your spiritual unity. Don't cheat on your wife. That's crazy that this is in the Old Testament. This is the law, because, you know, the Old Testament was also referred to as the law, the entire Old Testament. Right? Let me show you how this reads in a contemporary English version. Malachi 2:16. The Lord God, all-powerful of Israel, hates anyone who is cruel enough to divorce his wife. So take care never to be unfaithful. Notice that this is basing the divorce off of them cheating. Y'all notice that? This lets you know we have already proven that a man can cheat on his wife, and that can be the ground for a divorce. Because what they don't want you to know is that a woman could put away her husband. But the way they did it is when they did it like this, the judges would tell that man to put away his wife. That's why it reads like only the man's putting her away. But I'm going to prove that to y'all in another way, too, though. So don't fall for this stuff, sisters, when these black Hebrews be out here trying to make you believe, I could just sleep with another woman. That dude is cheating on you. He is dealing treacherously with you. He has been unfaithful to you, and you are ground stupid. You are playing stupid. Don't get mad at me. I'm your guardian angel. I'm trying to protect you. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to guard y'all. But I'm not going to guard you in spite of yourself, meaning I'm not going to fight against you on behalf of you. I'm not doing that. You know, you got some people, you got to fight them to help them. I don't do that crap. If I'm trying to tell you something for your own good and you get mad and snapping at me, I'm going to stop talking to you. Because that's what a lot of people do, especially women. You try to tell them something, yo, you don't need to be doing this wrong. This dude doing you wrong. Or just any advice in general, and they get mad and they snap at you. I will not fight you on behalf of you. That is stupid. And if you're dealing with anybody like that, stop talking to them. If they don't want to hear it, stop trying to tell them. I'm trying to give you wise counsel. That's all this is. You're going to marriage counseling. Y'all have heard that before? Marriage counseling? That's all this is. It's marriage counseling. But it's wise marriage counseling. So now that we see that, let's move on. Let's deal with this contract a little bit more. Let's go to Tobit. Because they try to come after me for that. Matter of fact, before you go to Tobit, do me a favor. Read Malachi 2 and 14 again, but in the King James. Read that. But in the King James. Yep.
It says, yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been with between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treachery.
Mm-hmm.
Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant.
Now it says, she is your companion, that means friend, and wife of your covenant. Right? It didn't say of God's covenant. It said your covenant, meaning when you married a woman, you made a covenant with her. That's a contract. That's a vow. What a vow is that, sister? Did he make any vow to you, or did he just run up in you? What a vow is that? And vows are recorded when you're talking about a transaction occurring. Y'all do know that when a man married a woman, he paid a dowry, and she became his property. That's what it was. But it doesn't mean she was treated like an inanimate piece of property. She's still treated like a person, but she still became that man's property. Nowhere in the ancient world, especially in the Bible, was a transaction ever made without a written record. That's why even to this day you got receipts. So it says the wife of thy covenant. If there was a covenant made, there's a receipt made. You show me one covenant in this Bible that wasn't recorded. Well, the covenant God made with Noah wasn't recorded. Yes, it was. You're reading it right there in the book of Genesis. In writing. That's the record right there, idiot. If I'm reading about it, that means somebody wrote it down, right? That's simple. I don't got to read where it specifically says, and Noah wrote it down. If I'm reading about it, somebody wrote it down. That's common sense. So when it says the wife of thy covenant, that meant that somebody had to make a record of that. You talk about the covenant God made with Israel. Wasn't that written down? Yeah.
Yep.
But you're going to make a covenant with your wife, which is based on the covenant that God made with Israel, because Israel is God's wife, but I don't need no paperwork. That's proof of purchase. That's proof an agreement was made. That's a record. That's protecting you, sisters. So that guy can't deny ever promising you anything. I ain't tell her I was going to marry her. She lied. Oh, no, I'm not. He go his signature. Here's the record. He did sign that. How stupid do y'all supposed got to be? You don't even want any paperwork to verify your marriage. Y'all want to try to trap a dude every way but the right way. I'm trying to show y'all how to do it the right way and righteously. You can't trap a dude by squeezing him in between your legs. That's what y'all think. If I squeeze him in between my legs, he ain't going nowhere. Sooner or later, you got to let him go. And when you let him go, what then? What then? Y'all better get that paperwork. Y'all better get that wife of thy covenant paperwork. Now let's deal with that. Now let's go to Toby. That's why they can't stand these sisters, because I care about y'all. They don't care about y'all. They don't care about y'all beyond what's between y'all legs. Why would any righteous Hebrew get mad at Brother Josh for just taking y'all through what the Bible says about marriage and adultery and cheating on your wife and cheating on your husband? Why would any righteous Hebrew man get mad at me for that? That doesn't make any sense. Big Brother Zadok ain't over here getting mad at me, and it ain't because we cool. They get mad at me because they don't care about y'all. They want to be able to use y'all. They want to pimp y'all. That's what they want to do. And let me tell you about this paperwork in action. It's COVID chapter 7. We read this last week, too. They better quit playing with us, Kevin. They better just stay on their grass.
Yeah, bringing it out.
They can't get around this. Y'all cheating on y'all. Y'all have been dealing treacherously with your wife and telling her that's your other wife. That's your second wife. No, dude, you whoremongering and you cheating on her. Exactly the way the Christian church describes it and teaches.
Yikes.
That's exactly the way the Christian church teaches. If you marry either of you and you sleep with somebody else, that is cheating. That is unfaithful. That is adultery. Don't play games with me. Old, new, and apocryphal. however you want it.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. You can't escape it. Tobit 7. And we're going to read 12 to 14. This is when Tobit, or Tobias, that's Tobit's son, him and the angel Raphael, who was under the name, the code name, Azaria, they went to Raguel, which was the father of the woman that Tobias was about to marry. Her name was Sarah. Now watch what happens when they're about to seal the deal. And they haven't slept together yet either, right? Tobit chapter 7, 12 to 14, go ahead and read.
All right, verse 12. And Raguel said, then take her from henceforth according to the manner, for thou art her cousin, and she is thine. And the merciful God give you good success in all things.
Mm-hmm.
13. Then he called his daughter Sarah, and she came to her father, and he took her by the hand, and gave her to be wife to the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, behold, take her after the law of both, and lead her away to thy father. And he blessed them.
Mm-hmm.
14. And he called Edna, his wife, and took paper, and did write an instrument of covenant and sealed it.
Is that he and called Edna? Yeah, that's good. And called, what did Raguel do? It says, and he blessed them and called Edna his wife and took paper and did write an instrument of covenant and sealed it. That's that same covenant that you just read about in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14. The wife of your covenant. They wrote this stuff down. That's what they did. They got y'all running around and thinking, oh, they just ran up in them. It wasn't no paperwork, no contract, nothing involved. No. We killing it today, y'all. You lying black Hebrews are done when it comes to this stuff. You done. Or you can come after the class is over and come get this smoke. Starting with Trilla and Big Brother Zadok. I'll let them take the front line. I do the teaching, they do the swinging of the star. We can mix it up either way you want to do it. Don't play games with us. Y'all lying to these sisters over here. Because you're horny. You're carnal. You're lustful. I don't care how horny or lustful I get. I'm not going to lie about what God's word say concerning marriage. Come on. I'm not going to do that. I'm a man. I get urges just like everybody else. But I'm not going to lie about God's word. I'm never going to do that. Oh, the book say, I'm supposed to be doing that. But let me show y'all how this reads in other translations, Tobit. See, I want them to see y'all, because see, they keep playing games with us. They think this is a joke. That's why your boy Mal Halal bagged out from you, Zadok. This is just more information that I got. And it still ain't the information that Brother Zadok got, if they would have debated. Them dudes know they can't go up against any real scholars. They like to pick on peons. Easy wins. Easy victories. Man, Halal didn't want to see Big Brother Zadok. He didn't want to see him. He had that liquid courage in him last week. You know, he probably sipped on some Cabartier or some rum or some gin and jumped in our chat room and then messed around and slept it off last Saturday night, woke up with a heck of a hangover on Sunday morning and said to himself, what have I done? He metaphorically woke up next to an ugly chick. Like, oh, man, I must have been real drunk. So then Benaiah, thinking that, you know, he was speaking from his sound mind, was like, yo, so what's up with this debate? Oh, what, huh? Oh, man, I did agree to a debate, didn't I? Hey, it looked good at the time. You know how you get drunk and that woman looked good at the time. You follow what I'm saying? Now he's trying to back out. He don't promise his sister last night while he was drunk. Yeah, I called you back. We're going to go out. You know what I'm saying? He's just making all these promises. Woke up and caught that snapshot of what she really looked like. Oh, crap. Ooh. Now he's trying to find a way to get out of it. We really talking about the same thing. No, we not. We do not teach that sex is marriage, bro, in any shape, form, or fashion. Stop lying on us. Then he went in another room and lied on me. Going to say, I teach that sex is marriage. I did a whole class last week saying, I do not teach that. That is wrong. I'm doing a class today saying the same thing. He go open up the whole room. That dude is a coward, man. Mal Halal did not say anything else to me, dude, after what he did. The dude even pinged me while I was teaching to respond to a room he opened up attacking what I was teaching. Now, who does that? Me and Mal Halal, we ping each other all the time to each other's room. We were doing it, but neither one of us ever disrespected each other and pinged the other while they were teaching. He's never done that to me. But he going to pull that crap last week. You going to ping me while you know I'm still teaching to come to a room you open up to attack what I'm teaching. That sounds a little drunk to me when you really think about it. That do sound a little drunk when you think about it, even a little high. That cat was just chilling. He was like, you know what I'm going to do? What you going to do, man? I'm about to go over there. I'm going to go mess with Josh and ABT, man. I'm going to act a clown, dude. That dude was high as I don't know what when he did that. Now he done sobered up and came to his right mind. Now he want to run. That's exactly what he did. He noticed, and we got receipts to prove it. I got every conversation proving that he ran. Like, it's no question, it ain't nobody reading anything to his words. He tucked tail and ran. And again, this is not a shot at the entire God First gang. I'm just talking about him. But if y'all want to get involved, like I said, ain't nothing between us but air and opportunity. That is it. Well, check this out, right? So we're going to read Tobit 7 and 14. First, we're going to read it in the NRS, and that stands for the New Revised Standard Version. But in the New Revised Standard Version, it's Tobit 7 and 13, right? But look what it says right here. Then he called her mother and told her to bring writing material. And he wrote out a copy of a marriage contract. Wife of thy covenant. Covenant can also be translated contract. It can also be translated agreement. It can also be translated promise. Receipt. It can also be, in a certain sense, it can be a receipt. Look what it says. He wrote out a copy of a marriage contract to the effect that he gave her to him as wife according to the decree of the law of Moses. So according to this, the writing of a contract is in accordance with the law of Moses. But when I was talking about paperwork last week, well, I just say you got to have paperwork in the law. So Tobit father-in-law, Raguel, I mean, Tobias' father-in-law, Raguel, he just jumped up and just invented this. He was the first one in Israel history, like, you know what, let's put some paperwork behind this thing. No! That's how they did it. It's based off of God's covenant he made with Israel. How can you not see that? Did God have his marriage to Israel in writing? Yes. You call it the law. You call it the covenant. You call it the new covenant. That's what marriage, a righteous marriage, is based off of, the way God married Israel. And there were vows involved on both sides, with Israel and with God. These brothers are wicked. They're making a mockery of the marriage covenant. But let me tell y'all how this reads in yet another translation. See, they playing games with me. I told them they're going to make it worse on themselves. They're just going to make it worse on themselves. That's all they're doing. See, I put salt in the wounds if you mess with me. Now we're going to the GNC, or the Good News Translation. This is Tobit 7 and verse 14. Look what it says. Raguel asked his wife to bring him a blank scroll so that he could write out the marriage contract. I ain't even going to read the rest. Well, I'll read the rest of it. The marriage contract. Edna brought him the scroll, and Raguel wrote out the agreement. What's the agreement? That I'm giving you my wife. I'm giving you my daughter to be your wife. That's the agreement. And it's on paper. Dude ain't got no papers on you. He ain't made a single vow to you. I just want to see the vow. We read in Malachi that those were vows. Where you vow at? How stupid can y'all supposed to be? You just let a dude run up in you. You ain't got nothing from him. You ain't even got a verbal agreement from this dude that you can lock him down on. She can tell you anything when you laid up in the bed. Yeah, baby, it's going to be me and you. You my wife. You better have your cell phone on record when he say that crap. Because the second he get mad, he'll deny all. Man, I ain't told that woman I was going to do that, you know what I'm saying? And it's crazy because they'll deny that, but then tell you that sex is marriage, which, in a sense, if that's what your doctrine is, that's the contract right there. If that's your doctrine. But let me try to read in yet another translation, right? We're going to read this in the NASB, which stands for New American Standard Bible, right? Look what it says. He then called, this COVID 7:14, he then called her mother and told her to bring writing materials. He wrote out a copy of a marriage contract stating that he gave Sarah to Tobiah as his wife as decreed by the law of Moses. Her mother brought the material and he drew up the contract, to which he affixed his seal. It's a marriage contract. It's a marriage contract. The Septuagint and the 1611 Apocrypha say instruments of covenants. Malachi 2 and 14 says the wife of thy covenant. That means a covenant you made with her. And Tobit is letting us know that that covenant was put in writing. You ain't got no paperwork on you, sisters. None whatsoever. You ain't got his last name. You ain't got a marriage contract. And Tobit says, according to the law of Moses, meaning that's how they did it.
Yep.
You don't got his father. You ain't a part of his father's house. You just a harlot. That is not a real marriage. You can lie to yourself. You convince yourself all you want to. You are living in sin. You shacking up. That's all you're doing. There are no legal ties. If you're doing something according to a law, that means there have to be legal ties involved. There are no legal ties in these camps. Y'all just doing it. Y'all just doing things. That's all y'all doing. So don't play with me. But we still warming up. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this. Let's go to C-Rock in the Apocalypse.
I thought we was already at the meat and potatoes.
Oh, no, no. It's on the meat and potatoes. Go on. No, no, no. Mm-mm. It's on page 94 in the Apocrypha section of the Septuagint.
I got it.
C-Rock 23. And we're going to read two verses, and then we're going to come back. This is where we bring, this is where we nail, put the nail in the coffin. See, I already dug the grave 6 feet deep last week. Now we're going to throw them in it, Kevin. And we're going to bury them.
Pack them up, as they say.
Exactly. This is it. And notice I'm in the Apocrypha. They read these books too. I'm not pulling out anything they don't believe. They read these books too. Until it exposes them. We already seen in Malachi that a man can cheat on his wife. If you are unfaithful to your wife, you cheating on your wife, what do they call that? They call that what? They call that adultery. So first we're going to go to, let me get here with you, 94. We're going to go to C-Rock, chapter 23. And we're going to read,
I know what you want.
Yep, verses 16
18.
To 18.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay, go ahead and read then. He said he see it. Let's see how, but we're going to see it just how much he see. Go ahead and read.
This is C-Rock. This is C-Rock 23 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
Two justice men multiply sin, and the third will bring wrath. A hot mind is a burning fire. It will never be quit till it be consumed. A fornicator in the body of his flesh will never cease till he have kindled a fire.
Now stop. Hold up. Stop. I'm going to be breaking down. He says two sorts of men multiply sin. So whatever you start to talk about, these are sinful things, right?
Right.
It says, and the third will bring wrath. So three things. A hot mind is as a burning fire. It will never be quenched till it be consumed. A fornicator in the body of his flesh will never cease till he have kindled a fire, right? So then it says a fornicator, right? Now read verse 17.
All bread is sweet to a whoremonger. He will not leave home till he dies.
Notice that he, a whoremonger, called the he, right? You see how I'm making it a male? It didn't say she. It said he. A whoremonger, right? It said all bread is sweet to a whoremonger. He will not leave off till he dies. Let's see what else it says about him. Right? Now read just verse 18. Now watch what it says a whoremonger does. Read verse 18.
A man that breaketh rampart, saying thus in his heart, who seeth me? And I am compassed with the dark. The walls cover me, and nobody seeth me. What I need to fear.
Whoa. It just describes a whoremonger as a man that does what? What did it say, Kevin? Read that again, verse 18 at the beginning.
Oh, bring it this
way. It just describes a man, a whoremonger. And you know it's about a married one. It said a man that break up wedlock. If you are a married man and you are sleeping around according to Ecclesiasticus, which is based on the ancient understanding that the Hebrews had about marriage and divorce and adultery, they describe a whoremonger that is married. If he is whoremongering around, he is breaking wedlock. What do we call breaking wedlock?
Adultery.
That's adultery. Oh, but don't worry. We're going to prove it. Y'all got nothing to worry about. We are going to prove it. Right? But we're going to read it in other translations first. Right? First, we're going to read it in the Good News translation. C-Rock 23 and 18. It says, the man who is unfaithful to his wife. Whoa. Ain't that how one of the other translations translated Malachi 2 and 14? The man who is unfaithful to his wife thinks to himself, no one will ever know. It's dark in here. No one sees me. Didn't it say in Malachi 2 that God saw them? That's why he even set their sacrifices, because he saw that they were cheating on their wives.
Yep.
See how it's all lining up, sisters? Y'all see how it's all lining up? He's called a whoremonger, even though he's married, and they're calling his whoremongering breaking wedlock. That's what it's called. You marry to one woman. If you go out and just sleep with another woman, we ain't talking about no polygyny. You just sleeping with these women, you are breaking wedlock. That means you're committing adultery. So you can commit adultery against your wife by simply sleeping with another single female. She ain't got to be married. But let me show you something else. We ain't done. We're going to read it in the New Revised Standard verse. Look what it says. The one who stands against his marriage bed says to himself, who can see me? Darkness surrounds me. The walls hide me. So that means he creeping.
Yeah.
He creeping. Nobody saying, who see me? Why is he creeping if it's okay for him to do it?
Right.
And don't y'all know that Malhalafable, because that's my new name for him, because he's laughable. Malhalafable said in my chat room, go click it, last week, where does it say in the Bible that a man has to tell his wife he has another wife? Why are you trying to creep, bro? That's what I want to know. Why are you preaching a creeping? You preaching a creeping. That's why the man is talking like that. That means it's a man that's sneaking around. That's why these black Hebrews be telling you, I ain't got to tell her nothing. Because all these guys are whoremongers sneaking around thinking nobody see them, not even the Lord. I told you I was going to get them, Kevin, and I said I'm going to get them.
Yeah, it's tough
on the day. But look what else it says. It's a contemporary English version. C-Rock, right? They better stop playing with me. C-Rock 23, verse 18. Look what it says. Man unfaithful to his wife says to himself, it's dark outside, and no one can see me here inside the house. Why worry anyway? God will forgive me. He don't convince himself that God don't even got a problem with what he's doing. Sound familiar? Does that sound familiar, Kevin?
Yes, sir.
God ain't going to do nothing. He going to forgive me.
Yep.
Right? New American Bible. Right? Look what it says. C-Rock 23:18. A man who dishonors his marriage bed says to himself, who can see me? Darkness surrounds me. Walls hide me. No one sees me. Who can stop me from sinning? He is not mindful of the Most High. This definitely sounds like a brother who creeping. I'm trying to figure out why would he have to creep if it's okay for a married man to just sleep with another single woman and he's automatically married. Why he creeping then, Kevin? Because he's dealing treacherously with his wife, just like we read in Malachi chapter 2 and 14.
Creeping for a reason.
He creeping for a reason. You can cheat on your wife. That's what we're reading right here. And we read the same thing in Malachi. Do not play games with me. Right? Look what it says right here in the Dewey Rains Bible. Hold up. It has a different, y'all know how they be doing with the different verses. Let me see. If it don't give me that, that'll be cool. Let me see which one. It's going to be one verse up or one verse down. Hold on now. Don't play games with me. Here we go. Okay, I think it's going to be one verse up. Means you like to pull it up. Let's see. It's not 18. Let's see if it's 19. If the Dewey Rains Bible even got this in the translation. Nope, I don't think it has it. But let's move on. Let me show you and prove you what break wedlock means. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 16. It said break wedlock. Didn't it say that?
Yeah.
It said a man can break wedlock by creeping, being a whoremonger. So first it called him a whoremonger, then it said he's breaking wedlock. That means he is cheating on his wife by sleeping with other women. How is that even possible, Kevin, if sex is marriage? How is that possible?
Right.
Get out of here, man. You dudes are done. You dudes are done, man. And all the dumb females that follow behind y'all. Y'all brainwashed, man. Y'all mentally messed up these sisters, man. How messed up do...
It's really over.
Yes.
It's over when you see this guy sneaking around right there.
Exactly. What he creeping for? Yes. What he creeping for if he can just go out and sleep with another woman? He didn't say he was creeping with another man's wife, did he? It didn't say that.
No.
And we know a whoremonger just means somebody that messed with whores or prostitutes. We read that. But these women are mentally disturbed at these camps, just like these hookers on the street. Think about it. How messed up in the head do you have to be as a woman to go out and degrade yourself to all kind of sexual atrocities, take the money, and then take it back to another man, and he sends you back out and do the same thing? You are mentally messed up.
Kabbalist.
Right. You're like, something is wrong with you. That's the same thing that's going on in this camp, these camps, just not to that degree. But y'all are damaged. A lot of y'all sisters are damaged in the head. You're damaged. There's nothing that can be done. Only the Most High can bring you up out of that. I'm not up here to try to convince some sister who's damaged and got Stockholm Syndrome and brainwashed to come up out of that mess. I can't do that. I don't have that kind of power. They got your head. I can't do nothing about that. I can't deprogram you. But you can't deny these scriptures either, like that ignorant sister tried to do last week when I showed her in Tobit about the marriage contract, trying to pretend like she didn't see it. Get your dumb behind off my stage. I'm not trying to deprogram you. Once you see it, like Brother Ariel told her, once you see it, acknowledge it, and keep it moving. I'm not going to argue with your programming. That's what they want you to do. They want you to argue with their programming. No, I'm not going to do that. You can cheat on your wife. That's what we've been reading. Haven't we, Kevin?
Okay.
No, and God got a problem with that. God would not even accept Judah's sacrifices, the kingdom of Judah's sacrifices, because they were cheating on their wives. That means God got a big problem with that. How in the world God got a problem with it, but you dumb sisters don't? Y'all brainwashed, man. A lot of y'all done. The sisters that are not brainwashed, y'all need to pull y'all sisters to the side. Maybe y'all can deprogram them. Josh ain't finna do it. He ain't even finna try. But I know y'all can see this stuff. I'm not telling y'all what y'all want to hear. Y'all seeing it. Y'all follow along with me in these scriptures. This brother proving everything, man. This brother straight showing that God don't like these dudes cheating on us. You breaking your promise. You're going against the covenant. It says your covenant. Husbands in ancient Israel made marriage covenant vow with these women before they slept with them, if they did it the right way. Y'all ain't doing that. Y'all just running a whorehouse over there. That's all y'all doing, calling them wives. I know a whorehouse when I see one. Y'all can't fool me. I grew up in the hood. I know that when I see one. You ain't tricking me. You think because you put a hair wrap on and a long dress and some fringes, I can't see right through you, sisters? A lot of these brothers ain't even trying to hide the pimping. They love those canes and everything. Put on the crown. Y'all know that. Have y'all, I'm going to get real deep with y'all right now. Have y'all ever really paid attention? Because I'm ultra observant. Have y'all ever really just been on Facebook or on Instagram and looked at some of these pictures that these brothers take with their sisters, their wives, I mean? How the husband's standing up and the wife is kneeling to him? I don't even see pictures with dudes having canes and cups in their hands. Canes and cups. If that ain't a pimp picture, I don't know what is. They ain't even trying to hide it. They ain't even trying. They got the cane and the cup. Because what many people don't understand about the pimp culture is that the original pimps, and I can do a whole class on this because I've done it before, the original pimps were priests. And they combined the priest concept with the king concept. When you see that priest with that cane, that is a scepter like a king has.
Yeah.
The first pimps worked in temples. You had something called temple prostitutes. They had men and women up in there. It was a religious thing. That's the same thing that's going on today. I can't even call it New Age pimping because it's just like they did it back in the day.
Pimping from the beginning.
That's the name of the class I did. What's it called? Pimping from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the name of the class I did. It's on my online store. You might want to get your hands on it, sisters.
That's
a little
beat, man. That one right there.
I don't play no games, man. That's why they can't stand me. That's why they won't come for me.
Yeah.
These brothers look just like pimps in these pictures. They got the pimp cup up there and everything. We call it the pimp cup. The goblet. They got the cup up there. They wearing the crown. They got the cane.
Right.
And they got the woman or women kneeling at their feet. I seen a pimp movie. I've got the name of it. On the cover of it, he's standing in the middle. He got two women hugged up on him. I see in the Hebrew Israelite take a picture just like that. Don't make me pull a pimp documentary out on these black Hebrews, boy. They'll come for me then. I think y'all will find me floating in the river behind that one. Do not make me do it. Like I said, I know a pimp when I see one. And I know a whorehouse when I see one. You ain't tricking me, bro. So y'all best to back off. Mal Halab. Don't make me come for you, bro. Don't talk yourself into something you can't talk yourself out of, but I will pull your records on you, bro. I will do that. I ain't talking about your personal life. Don't get it twisted because I don't know nothing about you personally. I'm talking about your doctrine. Don't try to front for your people, man. Stay right over there with the God First gang in your lane. That's what you better do. Stop getting drunk before Brother Josh started teaching. Those two don't mix well for you because you had to be drunk, right? This is Ezekiel 16. Keep playing with me if you want to. This is when God was condemning Judah, right? The kingdom of Judah once again. Right, get on their case. But watch what he tells them that they did. Right? Skip down. We ain't gonna read all of this. I just wanna get to the point. We're going to read in verse 37 and 38. Watch what he said they did. Because they were sinning with these other nations and their gods. Watch what God calls what they did.
This is Ezekiel 16 and 37. Behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken flesh, and all of them that thou hast loved, and with all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them around about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness.
In other words, God was going to punish Judah or Israel at the hands of the very people who they were sinning with, right? But remember, God saw ancient Israel as his wife, right? But watch what else he describes what they did. Go ahead and
38. And I will judge thee as a woman that breaks wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood.
Now, wait a minute. Now, this is in the regular Bible. It says, and I will judge thee as women that break wedlock. So now we're seeing this terminology being used again. But we read in Sirach that a man could do it. So let's look up what break wedlock means. What we're going to do is go to the Strong's Encyclopedia Concordance, and we're going to look up the word translated break wedlock. And it is 5003 in the Hebrew text. 5003 in the Hebrew section, right? 5003 in the Hebrew section, and the word is na'af. Na'af. And it says a primitive root to commit adultery. And it's the same word translated adultery all throughout the Old Testament most of the time. That's what break wedlock means, to commit adultery. Let's read the rest of it. Figuratively, to apostatize. Y'all know what apostasy is. Y'all learned it in university, right? To apostatize means like you abandon a belief, a religious belief, right? It says adulterer or adulteress, committing adultery, woman that break of wedlock. So it can be translated all of these. So if break wedlock means commit adultery, let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 23. That's what it means. And that's what it means. It tells you a man can do that. These black Hebrews been telling y'all sisters, I can't break wedlock. I can't cheat on you. I'm just having other wives. Why is C-Rock or Ecclesiasticus describing you sleeping around as breaking wedlock? Why is he calling that then? Now we know what do break wedlock mean, Kevin, and everybody on the stage? I want to hear it. What does it mean? Talk to me. Adultery. Judah, Trilla, Keanu, what does it mean?
Adultery.
Commit adultery. That's what it means. I'm not making this stuff up. That's what it means. So now we back in C-Rock, chapter 23, read verse 18. Just verse 18. If we're going to read some more, read it.
A man that breaketh wedlock, saying, thus in his heart, who seeth me? I am compassed about the darkness, the walls covered, and nobody seeth me. What need I to say? The Most High will not remember my sin.
So if a man that breaks a wedlock, which means a man that commits adultery, and according to this verse, the adultery is talking about him being a whoremonger, not sleeping with another man's wife. Just like the Christian teaching. If you are a married man and you go out and sleep with another woman, single or not, if you ain't making no real plans to try to make her your second wife, you are committing adultery against your first wife, just like what Malachi told us, because that's how they were cheating on their wives.
Right.
They were sleeping with harlots, single women. Right? Okay, keep reading, because it gets good. Keep going. 19, go ahead. We're reading 19 to, by the way, we're reading 19 to 27. Go ahead and read.
Such a man only fears the eyes of men, and knoweth not the eyes of the Lord are 10,000 times brighter than the sun, beholding all the ways of men, and considering the most secret parts.
See, notice he's saying, he's making a big deal about God being able to see his man creeping, because his man is clearly creeping. What are you creeping for, Mal Halab? You the one that asked the question, why he got to tell his other wife about his... the other wife he messing with. Why he creeping? You only creep when you're doing something you ain't got no business doing.
Right.
This man has been a whoremonger while he's married. He's committing adultery. If you are married to a man and he has gone out and slept with single women, no contracts, no marriage covenant, no dowry paid, that dude just committed adultery against you. That dude cheated on you. And you dumb sister sat right there and bought his bull that he ain't did a dang thing wrong. But keep going. Let's see what else it says.
20. He knew all things ere they were created. So also after they were protected, he took the bonds them all.
Mm-hmm.
This man shall be punished in the streets of the city, and where he suspected not, he shall be taken.
It said this man shall be punished in the streets of the city, and where he suspected not, he shall be taken. This either means that the city judge is going to get him, or the Most High is going to take him out. This don't sound like something that's okay. They understood that a man could cheat on his wife just like a wife can cheat on her husband. Y'all are married to a bunch of adulterers, sisters. Even the ones that even the sisters that are legitimately married to the man. If he's out there doing that dude cheating on you. You have been tricked. You have been suckered into a cult. And you have been brainwashed. And you're too stupid to come up out of it. I can't fix stupid, y'all. Only the Most High can do that. And if you feel stupid, good, because you should. Sometimes you got to feel stupid before you can feel smart. You got to do it sometimes. Continue reading.
Now we read 22. Thus shall he go also with the wife, just even her husband, and bring it in air by another.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Notice it's making them, what the man doing and the woman doing, the same thing.
Yes.
Y'all notice that? Because they tell you that what they do is not the same as what you can do. So that's what they tell you. It says, thus shall it go also with the wife that leaveth her husband and bringing in an heir by another. So this is a woman that cheated on her husband or got out the marriage in the wrong way and messed around and got a baby by another dude.
Yep.
Go ahead and read. Watch what he calls it. Go ahead.
For first, she has disobeyed the law on
high. Mm-hmm.
And secondly, she has trespassed against her own husband.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, she has played the whore in adultery and brought children by another man.
Wait a minute. It says she played the whore in adultery. And it said the man broke wedlock, both meaning adultery.
Yep.
So if a man cheats on his wife, that's adultery. And if a woman cheats on her husband, that's adultery. If a married man sleeps with a single woman while he's married, just sleeping with the woman, that's adultery. If a married woman sleeps with a single man or married man, that's adultery. You can't, neither one of y'all are okay to do that. These black Hebrews have lied to y'all. Y'all done married a bunch of adulterers. And then what was going on in Jesus' time? He said, this is a generation of adulterers. And that's what this is right now, calling it marriage. They were doing the same thing in the first century during Jesus' time. An evil and adulterous generation speaketh after a sign. That's what we're dealing right now with these, most of these black Hebrew counts. An evil and adulterous generation. Y'all better leave these counts. Y'all need to shut the doors on these counts. That's teaching that, if they teaching that. That's why they can't stand me, y'all, because I give it to you straight. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I really don't. I'm going to tell it just exactly how it is. But keep reading, though, because it keeps going. Go ahead.
24. She shall be brought out to the congregation, and inquisition shall be made of her children.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
25, and her children shall not take fruit, and her branches shall bring forth no fruit.
Now look what it's saying. Look at all the bad stuff that happens to a woman that cheats on her husband and has another child. This is talking about like a congregational thing, like a government type thing. Right? And then you know how the judges dealt with this type of stuff. Go ahead and read.
26. She shall leave her memory to be cursed, and her reproach shall not be blotted out.
Mm-hmm.
And they that remain shall know that there is nothing better than the fear of the Lord, and that there is nothing sweeter than to take heed into the commandments of the Lord.
So he condemns both of them. C-Rock condemns both the adulterer and the adulteress.
Sure.
He condemns them both. Malachi already let you know it's possible for a man to cheat on his wife. How can he do that if sex is marriage? Any woman he sleeps with, if she's single, that's just his other wife. No, y'all been lied to. That's his other whore. Cheating on your wife. You are dealing treacherously with your wife. You are being unfaithful to your wife. You are an adulterer. You are a whoremongering adulterer. Stop. Repent. Tell the truth. Leave them hoes alone. How much clearer can I make it?
Clear as you can get right there, brother.
Stop playing games. Let's move on. Still in Ecclesiasticus or C-Raw. Let's go to chapter 41. We only got two more after that.
41.
But we still got to throw that put away. I ain't forgot about that. Don't play with me. Cheating on these sisters. Telling them that's your second wife or your third wife. You are a whoremongering adulterer. That's all you are. You're breaking wedlock. You're dealing treacherously with your wife. God wouldn't even accept Judah's sacrifices, which means he wasn't hearing their prayers.
Right.
Because they were cheating on their wife. You think God is playing about that? These brothers need to stop. these camps, man. They're wicked. They're demonic, man. Y'all got to get away from this stuff. You have no idea what you've gotten yourself into, sisters. You just don't. Some sisters don't woke up. And then the ones that woke up, y'all see them on Clubhouse going hard on these camps. And then the other sisters who still in the camp want to come for them. These sisters trying to save y'all. You follow what I'm saying? Y'all want to come for them. No, they telling you the truth. These dudes are really pimping y'all over there. Y'all really getting slick pimped. I keep telling y'all, Josh don't care about no bro code. I'm a snitch. That's what I'm going to do. Don't tell me I'm a snitch. If it's wrong, I'm going to snitch. Don't tell Josh. Hashtag, don't tell Josh. They need to make a hashtag, don't tell Josh. Letting you know. This is Ecclesiasticus or C-Rock 41. We're going to read 15 to 21. We read part of this last week. I want to give you the other part of this for this week. Go ahead and read.
This is on page 111. And it reads verse 15, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 15. And a man that hideth his foolishness is better than a man that hideth his wisdom.
So I just took y'all here to let y'all know we're talking about men. This is the context of what a man does. Go ahead and read.
Right. 16. Therefore be shamefaced according to my word. But it is not good to retain all shamefaced. Neither is it altogether approved in everything.
So it's telling you sometimes there are instances where you should be ashamed of something, and sometimes there are instances where you shouldn't, right? But go ahead and keep reading.
17. Be ashamed of whoredom before father and of a lion before a prince and a mighty man.
Look what it says. Be ashamed of whoredom before father and mother. And a lie before a prince and a mighty man. Again, how can you be ashamed of whoredom if any woman you sleep with is your wife?
Right. Ain't that wrong?
It would be nothing wrong. It didn't say adultery. It said whoredom, single or married. You can commit whoredom. Doesn't matter. If you're doing it while you're married, it's adultery first and whoredom second. If you're doing it while you're single, it's just whoredom. If you're doing it while you're single but with another man's wife, it's whoredom and adultery.
Yeah.
But you can be a whore and be single. Brothers, just like the sisters. They want y'all to think only sisters can be whores if they single. No, men can too. You are a Kadesh. That's what you are, a sodomite, a dog. That's what you are, a whoremonger. Continue, please.
All right, and then we have
18.
Of an offense before a judge, and of iniquity before a congregation, and of unjust dealing before thy partner and friend.
Now notice all the stuff he's telling you to be ashamed of is sinful stuff. And whoredoms is in that category. That means be ashamed of whoredom in general, whether you single or you are married. Because it's the same C-Rock we just read that described a man whoremongering while married to be committing adultery. They call it breaking wedlock. Your husband broke wedlock. No, I didn't, baby. I'm just, this is my other wife. What a contract at? What a contract, what a covenant contract at? What are the vows that you made to her? I need to see a record of that. That's what y'all supposed to need to be saying. Where the record of that at? Where's she at? Why she ain't over here with us? They brought their wives home. Why she ain't got your last name? Hell, why I ain't got your last name? For a lot of y'all supposed
to.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all need to stop getting played. I tell y'all the truth because I love y'all. I love my sisters. I really do. I consider y'all just like my blood sisters. This is exactly how I talk to my blood sisters. I don't like seeing my sisters get played. Now, I love seeing a deceitful sister get played. I love that because she getting what she deserves. But I know a lot of y'all are really looking for sincere, good men, good husbands. I know y'all are. And y'all ended up in these camps. So I'm going to tell the truth for everybody who need to hear it. All the rest of these brainwashed sisters with Stockholm Syndrome, you know what I'm saying, don't fell in love with your pimp. And y'all do know that happens. Y'all do. I don't see some pimp documentary. Be hard, be in love with their pimps.
Yeah.
Y'all better watch Hustle and Flow. There's a lot of truth in that movie. There's a lot of truth. They be in love with these pimps. A lot of y'all don't even know. I knew actual pimps. I had a guy try to apprentice me to be a pimp. Y'all didn't know that ever happened to me? Dude heard how I was talking on the job one time. He like, dude, I want to make you my apprentice. And he was a real live pimp. He was a cool dude, too, like, you know, considering. I think he's playing with me. He talks, dude, he said, Josh, you got a mouthpiece on you. You know how to talk. You got some smooth words. I said, what you talking about, Josh? You want to be my apprentice? The crazy thing was, he was actually my apprentice in the electrical field. So he said he wanted me to be his apprentice. And to show me that he was not kidding, he pulled out a portfolio. Y'all know them three ring binders that, you know, they clip? He pulled out one of them.
No, he didn't pull out.
And showed me his whole catalog of the females.
Come on, man.
He said, I want you to be my apprentice. That's something that pimps do. They find a dude in the street, and they make him like an apprentice pimp. I said, bro, I'm in the word. It was so funny, I couldn't help but to laugh. I said, bro, I'm in the word. I can't be doing nothing like that. But let me tell you what he did, though. He brought me, and you can go look this up. You can get the PDF. He brought me something called the Pimp's Bible. Anyone of y'all ever heard of that book before? Look it up. It's called the Pimp's Bible. He brought me a copy of it. He didn't let me keep it. He just brought me a copy of it. I found it online years ago, the PDF, and I downloaded it a long time ago, but I've been through like 5 or 6 different laptops since then, so it's gone, but I can get it again. And I read that book, and boy, this dude right here who wrote this book, he had pimping down to a science. So add that to the experience I had growing up in the hood, and you cannot tell me, Brother Josh, that pimping ain't pimping since pimping. I know pimping when I see it, and these camps are pimping. He even wrote down different kind of pimps in the book. The one I remember the most was one called a gorilla pimp. That's the pimp that beats on his horse. The guy who gave me the book, he said, a gorilla pimp, worst thing you want to be, said. He said, that's the merchandise. You don't ever damage the merchandise, bro. That's how this dude was talking to me. So I know the pimp gang. And he even told me, I'm not taking this as a compliment because I don't want to be complimented about anything wicked, but he even told me I would be an outstanding pimp. I felt like the devil was trying to offer me a deal. I'm like, nah, I'm good, bro. I'm good. But I read that book. I'm trying to tell y'all. I know the pimp game when I see it. These guys run some strong pimp game on these sisters and these camps. Strong. And it's hard for a whore to break out of under the bondage of a pimp. Because a lot of these whores be in love with the pimp. They ain't just out here doing it. Y'all think these women out here degrading themselves just because they got a pimp? Some of them are, but a lot of them are genuinely in love with the pimp. And then the pimp takes that main one, and he calls that his bottom B. And what she does is make sure that the other women stay in check, and she even recruits more for him. That's your first wife at the camp. She your bottom B. She be out there with you, interviewing the new sister with you. It's usually some young sister. I know the game. Don't make me really come for y'all. Don't make me do it. I could put a whole documentary on YouTube and expose the whole game. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. You might just get one anyway, just on GP. But you can't do nothing but fast forward it if you keep messing with me. From the way y'all dress to the way y'all recruit, I can show you from that pimp Bible. That's exactly how y'all moving with these females and e-counts. Do y'all really want that smoke? Stay in your lane. Y'all know I don't give too many warnings before I act. Y'all know that. Josh don't hear that many warnings. You might get one or two. After that, I'm coming on your grass. Y'all know that. Let's move on, though. Did you send it out? You stopped at verse 27?
I stopped at, actually, I was at 19.
Okay, yeah. Let's see.
Go to, 21.
Yeah, keep it moving. Yeah, keep it moving.
Guard, in a sense, in regard of the place without sojourning, and in regard of the truth of God and his covenant, and to lean with thine elbow upon the meat, and of the end of the scoring to give. To give and take.
All this stuff is stuff you're supposed to be ashamed of, right? Go ahead and read. Some of it ain't even necessary sin. Some of them just table manners. But he's still putting it all in the same category. But go ahead and read.
20. And of the silence before them that salute thee, and to look upon a harlot.
Wait, stop. Whoa. Slow down, Cal. Slow down. You know what I'm saying? It's an and to look upon a harlot. It's that be ashamed to even look at a harlot. So you know if C-Rock is saying it's a shame to even look at one, you know he was talking about straight up adultery in the other chapter. He's that be ashamed to even look at them. And a lot of these brothers doing a lot more than looking at them. Be ashamed to even look at them. That reminds me of what Jesus said. If you look on a woman, you commit adultery with her already in your heart. Ain't even touched them. You ain't supposed to be dreaming about these hoes. Go ahead and read. I'm just keeping it a buck. I'm keeping it a buck. I'm just telling you.
21.
Go ahead and read.
21. And to turn away thy face from thy kindred, take away a portion or a gift, or to gaze upon another man's wife.
Hold up. Notice it made a separation. First it said gaze on a harlot. Then it said gaze on another man's wife. Both of them in the same category, which means you could be an adulterer whether you're messing with a single harlot or a married one. Mm-hmm. You're going to be ashamed to look on both, another man's wife or just a single harlot. It made a separation right there, didn't it?
It did.
And these brothers out there, you got camps like Sakari telling you it's okay for you to sleep with harlots. You ain't supposed to be looking at them. Don't play games with me, man. These camps are wicked. Y'all all going to hell with them if you don't repent and leave. It's as simple as that. We all got to die one day. I think some of us forget that one day you ain't going to wake up. And y'all know this stuff is wrong. These are whorehouses. These are not camps. And I'm not talking about all of them, just the ones that are doing this stuff. Right? That's cool. Now, let's go to Matthew 19. Put away the cheating husband. Put him away. Get him up out of here.
There we go.
Leave that clown. I'll tell any sister that. He cheating on you, leave. He committed adultery. He has broken wedlock. Wedlock is the covenant. Y'all know that, right? When was the last? Show me anywhere in a Bible where once in the Bible, if an agreement is broken, you still have to honor it. Show me that. That's the very nature of a covenant. If somebody breaks their end, you don't have to honor your end. That's how an agreement works. How in the world are these brothers going to tell y'all if they break wedlock, if they break the covenant, you still got to honor your end and be faithful to them and stuck with them? How they going to tell you some mess like that? Do you even know how an agreement works, how a contract works? Marriage is a contract. You break your part of the contract, I don't have to honor mine. That's how that goes for both parties. And even though Israel broke God's covenant, God still chose to honor his end of it. Even though, I can show y'all in another class, he went back on some stuff that he said he would do for them because they broke the covenant.
Right. It goes both ways.
It goes both ways.
Yep.
I can show y'all that. out here getting cheated on and justifying your cheating. Y'all some dumb females, boy, I tell you. Dude cheating on you, and you out there to other females justifying getting played. Just like Cat Williams said Friday after that, Pippin. That's what that is. That's Money Mike. Every time I see one of these women in here come on the stage or in the chat room trying to defend this stuff, Pippin. Y'all remember when he was in the bathroom and Terry Crews was trying to rape him and he grabbed them pliers?
Yeah.
He said that, boy, like he felt the power, like he just had a major rush of adrenaline. Pippin. That's what I be saying every time I see one of y'all sisters trying to defend this stuff. Or when I see one of these brothers opening up rooms trying to keep running game on y'all. That's all it is. Matthew 19.
Some sisters bring the specific prayer. You have classes like this, and then the message still doesn't get through to certain sisters. They just need some prayer, man. Some prayer.
Right. And see, look at the brother showing up late in the room, named Rashid X. Thompson. Wow, so God is a liar and make his word void. See, he ain't paying attention to nothing. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He don't, like, you know, every brother teacher in the chat. Every man is a teacher in the chat, but not on the stage. You feel me? I'm not worried about these people. You know what I'm saying? All I got to say is, you in my room. I ain't in yours. That's all I got to say about that. I ain't coming to hear you. You coming to hear me. You can help a lot you want, but at the end of the day, you a fan of mine. I'm not a fan of yours. That's how I look at it. You feel me? I keep telling y'all that. Your haters are your biggest fans. Ain't nobody ever told y'all that before? They're your biggest fans. They come to everything you do. You know what I'm saying? They show up to your stuff more than your own parents do.
You
feel me? On time. Early. Front row seat. You know what I'm saying? They're your biggest fans. I love haters. ABT grew because of haters. Did y'all know that? We first got on YouTube. Nobody knew anything about us. People started making all these videos about us, trying to shut us down. And that's how a lot of people at ABT learned about me, from my haters. That's a fact. So that brother Rashid, he probably got one or two people, or whoever follow him, and they see him in my room, so they're going to come in here too. That's how club all work. You follow somebody, let you know they're in the room, right? So they follow you right on in here. I keep telling y'all, this is Matthew 19, 8 and 9. We're going to get to what Jesus said. We ain't going to walk through the whole, you know, if she put him away and all that. We're just going to deal with what he said, the reason why Jesus said you can get a divorce. Matthew 19, 8 and 9. Read that, please.
Verse 8. And he said unto them, Moses, because the hardness of the wicked wives. But from the beginning, it was not so.
Because they asked him in verse 7, why didn't Moses allow for a written divorcement? Because Jesus was preaching that marriage is permanent. Right? So watch what he tells them, the only way you can get a divorce. Go ahead and read.
Verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Now look what Jesus said. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and we're going to look that up, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. So first thing I want y'all to point out is that Jesus said that if you divorce a woman for any reason other than fornication and marry somebody else, you're committing adultery. So already Jesus is letting you know that you can't just put your wife away for any old reason. And if you do and marry somebody else, that's adultery. How can that be adultery if the only way a man can commit adultery is if he has sex with another man's wife? Jesus just said if you put away your first wife and sell it for fornication and marry another woman, you're committing adultery. But guess what? Don't that sound like what we was reading in Malachi? God hated putting away?
Sure does. Malachi 2.
Doesn't that sound like what we were reading in C-Rock 23? Where it said you breaking wedlock if you messing around your whoremongering?
Right. What are all these papers for? That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Why do we need these papers?
Why we need these papers? Right? But watch what else it says. Read the next part.
He was
and whosoever, yeah, and whosoever in verse 9, read that part again, and whosoever, the second part of 9.
And whosoever shall put away his wife except to keep her fornication, shall marry another and commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever married her, which is put away, don't commit adultery.
Right. Now, if you read this in Matthew, it gives the impression that the man can only commit, can only put away the wife and therefore cause adultery. Right? We're going to deal with that. Because I'm telling y'all right now, and I'm going to prove it, that when Jesus said, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry and marry another committed adultery, when he said, except it shall be for fornication, it means whether he does it or her.
Mm-mm.
That's what I'm going to show you. See, they've been reading it that, oh, only he can do it if he commits fornication. No, when it's that except it be for fornication, meaning I'm going to show you that if a man did it, had to put away his wife, if she, you know, if she didn't want to forgive him. Because, you know, you can always forgive somebody for infidelity. Y'all know that. Right? But let's go to the word fornication. We're going to go to 4202 in the Greek section of the Strong's Advanced Concordance. 4202 in the Greek section of the Strong's and Vowel Concordance. And the word here is porneia. Hmm. That's another variation of pornos, remember, or porneia,
yep,
which is where we get our modern-day word pornography from, right? Is it porneia? From Greek 4203, harlotry. Whoa. First definition again. So he can put away his wife for harlotry, but what else it says? Including adultery and incest, figuratively idolatry, and we don't even talk about idolatry here, right? So basically, to make it easy, because all of this can be under one umbrella of fornication, if she violates the marriage, he can put her away. And if anybody marries her after he put her away, if he put her away wrong, that person is also committing adultery. The only way you can put away your wife right here, and we can expound on this too, but right here we're just reading about Jesus telling them, if you put away your wife for any reason other than her cheating on you and marry somebody else, you are committing adultery on your wife. It has nothing to do with you messing around with another man's wife. This is you dismissing wrongfully your legal wife to marry another woman. That's exactly what Malachi 2 was talking about, because that's what they were doing back then. But let me show you something very significant. Let's go to the last one. Watch how it reads here. And this might be something you never paid any attention to. This is Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, same thing. First, we're going to read verse 5, and then we're going to skip. We get straight to it. Mark chapter 10 and verse 5.
And it reads, and Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept.
And I just started right here to let you know he's responding to that same question about the why Moses allowed them to get a divorce, right? That's the only reason why I started here, to show y'all same story. Now, skip down and read 11 and 12, and pay close attention. Read that.
Mark chapter 10, verse 11. He said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her.
Mm-hmm.
And if a woman shall put away her husband, I'll read it again. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committed adultery.
Whoa. Major differences here than what we read in Matthew. First of all, it says in verse 11, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. Did you notice that in Mark it doesn't say except for fornication?
Nope. Didn't say that.
In Mark, it reads as if you just put your wife away, period, and marry somebody else, you're committing adultery. But we know that's not the case because
right.
we read it in Matthew, too. You got to cross-reference these Gospels. But most significantly, verse 12 says, and if a woman shall put away her husband. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And be married to another, she committed adultery. Notice that Mark is letting you know that if a woman puts away her husband, and it also lets you know if a man puts away his wife. So what? How are we to understand this? If you cross-reference it with Matthew that mentions the reason being fornication, all this is saying is both the man and the woman can put away their spouses if it's for adultery or cheating. That's why he said, if a woman shall put away her husband. We know it don't mean just do it, period, because that would mean that under no circumstances can a man or a woman put away their spouses. And that would contradict Matthew 19. Matthew 19, because he just said except it be for fornication. This lets you know when Jesus said in Matthew 19, if a man shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, that meant if either one of them did, whether he committed fornication or whether she did it, that's the only way the marriage can end. That's why when you go to verse chapter 10 in Mark, it says, and if a woman shall put away her husband, that means that women were putting away their husband. Jesus just let you know the only way you can do it is if the dude mess around on you. And we showed you all in the Old Testament and the Apocrypha that it was entirely possible for a man to commit adultery and break wedlock and to cheat on his wife. So either Mark is totally wrong, which means Jesus is wrong, or we are to cross-reference these two Gospels together and understand both of them to mean that neither one could put away the other unless they cheated, and either one could put away the other if they cheated. That's why Jesus said if a woman put away her husband. He didn't say whosoever just marry her like he did in Matthew. He let you know if a woman put away her husband. So there were women throwing out these lazy, no good, shiftless Hebrews when they were messing around. But we already knew from reading that God had a problem with that. Well, Josh, that ain't specifically mentioned in the law. This is what Jesus said. Number one, if you're a messianic Hebrew, if Jesus said it, that's all I need to see. But number two, if something was not specifically mentioned in the law, there was a controversy, they took them to the judges. And you can read where these judges would pressure in history. They would pressure these guys to divorce their wives if they were broke. So she could put him away if he was cheating. That's why he worded it like that. That's how you're supposed to match this thing up. If he says, and if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she commit adultery. That is parallel to Matthew 19. Let's go back to Matthew 19. This is Matthew 19. That means the same thing as, let me make sure I got here, Matthew 19. There we go, verse 9. That means the same thing as this part right here. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. When you parallel these two, it says, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. That's Matthew 19 and 9, Mark 10 and 11. And he says unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. So that means the same thing as what we just read in the first portion of verse 9 in Matthew 19. Second portion of verse 9 in Matthew 19. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. That's if there was no cheating involved, right? You go back to Mark chapter 10, verse 12. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committed adultery. Both of these are saying that you cannot put away your spouse. A man or a woman cannot put away their spouse except it be for fornication, or in other words, cheating in a relationship. That's why Jesus worded it like that. He's letting you know that women were putting away their husbands, but they could only do it through adultery. So as the title of the class say, put away that cheating husband. And all put away mean is divorce, y'all. That's all it means. So if you are married today as a sister or a brother, if you are a brother and you are married legitimately on paper, contract, dowry, I don't care. And you go out and mess around with a single woman, you are committing adultery. You are breaking wedlock. That's what Malachi said. That's what C-Rock said. It doesn't matter if she's single. If you're just sleeping with her, we ain't talking about polygyny. We talking about you just sleeping with a chick. You ain't went through any other procedures to make her your wife proper. You just sleeping with her. If you do that as a married man and you mess with a single woman, no husband, just some single chick, and you just sleep with her, you are cheating on your wife. You are committing adultery. And if you do it on a regular basis, you are a whoremongering adulterer. If you are a single, if you are a married woman and you sleep with a single man, that's adultery. That's easy. If you sleep with another woman's husband, that's adultery. And if you are a single woman and you just messing around with a single man casually, you're just being a whore. If you're a single man and you just messing around with a single woman casually, you are a whoremonger. And if any of you are married, whether it's in a monogamous relationship or a polygynous relationship, and the man is going out just sleeping with random chicks, I don't care how many legal wives he has, he got 5 legal wives, and that 6th one could just be some random female he messing with, he is committing adultery against all of his wives. That's how we've been reading it. That's how they understood it. That's how I teach it. So for you sisters, the next time you find yourself in a relationship in a Hebrew camp, because Christians don't play this game. They don't play like that. And this man is trying to tell you, I can sleep with any woman I want because it's impossible for me to cheat, and you can never get rid of me because I can't cheat. It's impossible. You can do one of two things. You can either tell him to hit replay on this room that we got going, or you can show him the scriptures yourself, and then you'll be faced with two decisions. You can either put away that clown, because he is not righteous, he is dealing with you treacherously, he has been unfaithful to you, he has broken wedlock, he has broken the marriage covenant. Or you can forgive him and tell him he can't do it anymore and show him this information, and maybe, just maybe, he too will see not only that sex is not marriage, but he will stop being a cheating husband. We'll be back after these brief announcements. All right, everybody. First of all, shout out to all 120 people that are still sticking around. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. We have classes every week, every Saturday, every Sabbath, every Shabbat. We usually open up the clubhouse room at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I try to play some nice music for y'all for about 30 minutes, and class starts around 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Most of y'all already know this, right? If anybody is interested in ordering a past class, you can go to our online store. This information is on my thumbnail, on my bio. You just click on my picture, right? The website address is absolutebibletruth.com/store. Again, that's absolutebibletruth.com/store. If you do decide to visit the store, I suggest you start